Welcome to the Mothership and another edition of Revealing the Mysteries Radio right here on Kind of Sound Radio, the community radio station online. My name's Isaac George, and I'm your host for this wonderful segment, part two of my guests being on board, Eric Francis Coppolino. He's a Brooklyn native and the world's only astrologer to carry international press credentials. After a long career as an investigative reporter covering corporate crime, Eric went from the front page to the horoscope page. Today, he is the editor of Planet Waves, a daily astrology magazine, and is the host of Planet Waves FM, a weekly program affiliated with the Pacifica Radio Network. He was educated in New York City public schools and SUNY Buffalo, New York. He considers himself a lifelong English major. For more of Eric's work, visit planetwaves.net. Welcome once again, Eric. How are you doing today?
Good, Isaac. Thank you. Great to be back.
Good. I really appreciate you being on the show, taking the time out of your hugely swamped and busy schedule to speak with us and to my audience.
This is a little vacation.
Ah, good. Radio and talking and a cup of coffee is always a great thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So where we left off last time was basically about the reporting ethos, your team. We're now roughly in the period between 2000-2011. Is there anything of note during that period that you would like to bring up? I mean, obviously we have 9/11, we have the Iraq War, we have, you know, the changing of the guard into two terms of George Bush into two terms of Barack Obama. What was going on in that period? I mean, you got started getting a bit into things like Tantra, or maybe that was there before any of this stuff.
Yeah, that was a long time. In terms of news, I mean, at this point, I'm covering every news event, every major event. Started digging into 9/11 and the chart of 9/11 and the Bush administration and all of the that stuff. And then 2011 rolls around, and that's the Arab Spring and Fukushima. First Fukushima happens, then Arab Spring happens, Occupy Wall Street happens, the labor movement eruption in Madison, Wisconsin. That was the Uranus-Pluto square. And so it's just nonstop at that point. And and the world is obviously going crazy, but I knew it was heading for something, but I couldn't see quite that it was heading for this COVID thing. In terms of my my work around sexuality and with it, that it was always an interest. You know, the conscious, you know, ideas around sexuality, not just sex. Mm-hmm. Sex is great. Ideas are great. And right at the beginning of my astrology career, I was working at a psychic fair, and I met a woman who I knew needed to know Betty Dodson. And I had a lover at the time named Richard Levitt, and I knew that he had taken the body electric classes and also knew how to contact Betty Dodson. And he gave me her phone number, and I called up Betty Dodson, and we were like old friends. It was like we were continuing a conversation we'd been having for eons. And 1995, right around the time my first horoscope, Betty and I met and hit it off, and I learned, she in a sense became my kind of tantric teacher, and I've done her chart at every astrology conference I've ever taught at. Every single one. I never miss a chance to do Betty Dodson's chart at an astrology conference.
So Betty
fest. Someone's got to do it, right? Someone's got to bring, and astrology conferences are not what they used to. It used to be really fun, and now they're like kind of dry and, you know, teetotaling and, you know, shall we do kombucha, you know, what's the other stuff?
I bet it wasn't boring when Jeffrey Wolf Green was there.
Well, no, not very boring, and not, I don't want to say too much, except that I will say this. I know his ex-wife. His ex-wife, Laurie Burnett, is his ex-wife. His first wife, who taught me a lot of astrology. And when I talked to her for maybe the first time, she said, well, if you if you like Pluto, you'll love Chiron. Now, little did I know, she co-wrote Pluto Evolutionary Journey of the Soul.
I had no idea.
With no one knows. There used to be a dedication in the front of old copies. You'll see that it's dedicated to her, and she finally asked him to take it out. But she kind of, she really was trained in astrology, whereas he was not so much. And so she made it into an astrology book. She took the ideas and formed them into an astrology book. So I have kind of behind the scenes access, and Lori was great. I mean, she pointed me to Chiron. She pointed me to Alice A. Bailey.
Yep.
And she started me reading progressions from the beginning, not using a book. Just read the chart. And so I learned how to read progressions by doing it. And that was a real gift. And but Jeff Green is even in the later period of when, you know, before then, when the conferences were a party, they were fun. It was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It was like, let's hang out and do stuff. You could go there, you could meet people. And, you know, by the early 2000s, it's all very, you know, I'm like, okay, where's the fun part? Like, I like teaching was great. That was good. I'm happy to meet all my readers. But like, then where's the like saucy part? And not there.
Well, this has been, I didn't think we would digress into this, but I had to ask the question, you know, so there you go. So that's really a fascinating piece in the midst of all that period for you. And I was just curious because I have both of his books and I find them incredibly fascinating. And I've tried to slog through some of his online videos from the courses. Mm-hmm. But we get back to the sexuality thing. And you put out a book called Book of Blue that was from, I think, that period.
So, still ongoing. And it started as a photo project. And then I started writing about the experience of the photos and of my own sexual journey, and it's not open access, but I'll pretty much let in anybody who wants, you know, access if you write to me. You know, for various reasons, I don't, you know, leave it for everyone to see and hear. But what's not covered by a password is a website called Yogi Slut, which we need to redo this website, make it into a proper WordPress website. YogiSlut.com. And this is a compilation of what I think of as my best, like, teaching sexual writing as opposed to the more personal experience stuff. So the more like, it's not exactly theoretical, but it's more like, okay, here I'm going to tackle a topic. Here's a topic. Here's polyamory. Here's masturbation. Here's the glossary is not on there. The glossary deserves a home. I once wrote a sex glossary called Options to Romance. So writing comes easy to me. So if I'm thinking about something long enough, eventually I write about it.
You start writing. Yeah. Well, it's one of these elements that weaves in is that toward the end of every Planet Waves FM show, there's Tantra Studio. There's mm-hmm. this area, this kind of place where it's sort of cozy. It's sort of like you have this intimate talk about, you know, one of the subjects related to sexuality or sexology or mm-hmm. Tantra. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a dialogue that needs to be more out there. Personally, I've been a student of Tantra for the last 30 years or so. Practicing. But I mean, we're going through that sort of strange, you know, that sounds strange, but gender fluid time and people questioning a lot of things about what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be male? What does it mean to be female? Mm-hmm. A lot of this, you know, part of the thing that I think started rolling that ball was Uranus and Aries, in not just the Fukushima situation, the earthquake and all the upheaval of that year. But, you know, I watched it trend over the next 4 or 5 years. And that was, you know, the article that you wrote, I think in 2015, about you're having an out-of-body experience. And I went, Uranus and Aries. Oh, okay. Yeah, smartphones, everything. That was a real trigger. And it had nothing to do with sexuality, except all of these reports started coming out in the mid part of the last decade of, you know, men, I can't remember the name of it, men who don't date anymore, you know, they kind of have this thing about women as being unapproachable because of the Me Too movement or whatever. And more people in Japan not having sex at all, mm-hmm. you know, or just online sex or cyber sex. And it's like, there is some connection here between the astrology of the moment and what's going on with people's relationship to sexuality, to intimacy, to relationship to the body.
Right. It's the internet.
Yeah, you've been bringing this out. So that's why I preface it and say, okay, we need to talk about this in this show, in this part. So I'll leave it with you. What do you want to do?
I mean, why don't we got a few minutes left in this segment.
Yeah.
I mean, the internet has induced a massive out-of-body experience for the entire human race, with everyone leaping across the ocean like we are right now, existing in two places at once. By the time the show comes out, we're going to be existing in a million places at once. And what we're saying now is going to be heard by people in 2 weeks. So we're also bridging time and space. And it's very disorienting. People don't realize it. No one's taught about this. You study Marshall McLuhan and you put it together, which most people haven't really heard of him. So, I'm not interested. That's the other part. So we're having our relationships in this disembodied age. And one of my concerns is we're losing contact with our bodies. We're becoming submissive to computers, but also we're losing social skills. Sex is social. And in order to not be intimidated by women, to find women, whatever someone might say, find women approachable, that takes practice.
Yeah.
It takes reading body language. It takes eye contact. None of this takes smell. That's a really important one. None of this happens on the internet.
Yeah. You're basically handicapped. Just like, I mean, a telephone, somebody once estimated you're only 7% of your senses are involved in any normal analog telephone call. Well, what is it? What is happening on Zoom?
Yeah. Well, and at least, you know, you have that visual image. I don't usually find that to be that helpful. I'd rather do astrology readings on the phone, or audio only. And I much prefer audio to video. Hence, I do a 3-hour radio program, a pretend radio program. So I think we are at a tremendous loss, and we're losing part of our humanity that we need to reinvest ourselves in and be courageous and not be intimidated. Now everyone's intimidated by everyone because they're intimidated by the mere presence of the body. And that's the message of COVID, is don't trust your body.
Wow. That is a biggie.
Yeah.
That is a biggie right there.
And so it's an extension. All the stuff with COVID, the social distancing, quote unquote, and masking and all this is just an extension of what's already been going on in the digital realm since the beginning of the digital realm.
How do you feel? I'm going to ask you this question because I've just, you know, I'm preparing a show, a different show. And I watched again just because I was so taken with the impression of what happened to Tristan Harris at the beginning of the movie, The Social Media or Social Dilemma, mm-hmm. in which he said there's something going on with big tech. There's one thing. There's this one thing. And he was so stunned by his own questioning of wanting to know what that one thing was. He couldn't. Yeah. He couldn't say anything. He just sat there with us.
But he knew there was something. He knew there was something. Like Kepler didn't have a word for it, And then Sir Isaac calls it gravity. And Kepler's saying, there's some force holding all the planets together. And then Kepler says, yeah, it's gravity. Sorry, yeah. Isaac Newton takes a while. And he's recognizing there's something doing something to us. And that something and that other something, well, that's electrical, digital, media, completely dissociating ourselves from ourselves and from one another.
We need to get into this in the second segment, along with what has happened in the last 20 months, 15 months. And it's important that we have a good song to lead us into that. So what do you have on tap for us now?
From Amnesiac in 2001, another one of my very favorite Tom York songs. It's called You and Whose Army. And I think this is to Dick Cheney or somebody, but You and Whose Army.
Come, come on, you think you drive me crazy. Well, come on, come on, you and whose army, you and your cronies, come on, come on, Holy Roman Empire, come on if you think, come on if you think, you can take us on, you can take us on. You and us,
Mysteries. And our guest tonight again is Eric Francis Coppolino. And we were just talking about the World Wide Web and how we're all caught up in it. Where do you want to pick it up from there? I mean, we're talking about the dissociative factor of digital technology.
Well, let's connect digital to COVID. So most people think that SARS-CoV-2 is a physical virus.
Right.
And there's going to be people who think
germ theory,
and it's a thing that has little spikes on it. And then, you know, you sneeze, and then, you know, Joe Blow walks across the room right near where you sneeze, and then suddenly he's in bed home with SARS.
Yeah. Or a common cold. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Or something, because hay fever. And the reality is that SARS-CoV-2. You may think I'm a conspiracy theorist. I want to tell you that it took me a year of not sleeping to figure this out and interviewing numerous PhD scientists and studying the history of virology and of viruses and of virus testing and watching a lot of videos by the inventor of the so-called COVID test, that the virus that they're talking about exists in a computer form only. It is an in silico virus called MN908947.2. There is no SARS-CoV-2. There's this computer script that's put into, that was written by a guy named Christian Drosten in Germany in early January of 2020. He's like the German Fauci, but he's got some computer skills. Unlike Fauci, okay, who probably can handle email, but he still types with two fingers. Drosten, this guy, Christopher Drosten, comes up with, he edits together a virus using software called Pymol, P-Y-M-O-L. And on the front page of planetwaves.net, currently I'm going to leave it there for a long time, I have a fake interview with this fake virus. And then at the very bottom, you can click onto a Twitter feed of a guy who explains how it's done. It's a video of him actually showing how you construct a virus on a computer. Wow. And so then they take this virus on a computer, 908-947.2, and they put it into another computer called the polymerase chain reaction machine. It's a digital machine. It's on the internet. It's got an IP address, and it's doing a digital analysis of samples taken from nature, i.e. from up people's noses.
Right.
And then instead of matching them to an actual virus, it matches them to an in silico virus that exists only in a computer. So no one can have a case of 908-947.2. You just can't have it. It doesn't exist except in a computer that's called in silico. And so if you test positive for COVID, all that means is that the stuff in your nose allegedly matched this computer made in silico script, this program. Made on one computer, analyzed on another computer. Now, to put it very briefly, let's say you're analyzing cannabis, which all these states now have to do because they have purity laws and all this stuff. Well, they take some real cannabis and they put it in the polymerase chain reaction. They've got actual samples that have then been digitized.
Physical organic samples.
Yeah, those are digitized. It's like taking a picture of a real mountain. Okay,
right.
Then that's matched up against other samples from nature. That's not what happened with the SARS-CoV-2 test. It's all in silico, or you might call it the CDC calls it a mimicked human specimen.
You know what's interesting about that, Eric?
Please.
This is an investigation I've been on for about 7 years, 8 years now. But in the old Gnostic Nag Hammadi codices, there is a fantastic mythology or mythos around an alien artificial life form. And that alien artificial life form is extremely proficient at one particular skill, and that is called counter-mimicry. So you can create something only by mimicking something that already exists already in nature. But by doing so, you change its meaning and its agenda. You do not have something that is a pure copy. It's not analogous. It is completely manipulated. It may look like a duck. It may walk like a duck. Yep. It may talk like a duck, but it ain't no duck.
Well, yeah. And what they claim is, they have six samples from China of like Wuhan flu from December or early January. Nobody knows who they are, what they are, it's all been wiped.
Where did that come from? That report that was released that you've mentioned a number of times on the day of the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, January 12th, 2020.
Well, that's the day that that's interesting astrology tie-in, but that's the day that that China released these sequences. China released its in silico sequences. We don't know exactly the relationship between Christian Drosten and Victor Korman in creating those, but those became what fed into a paper that came out about 13 days later called the Corman-Drosten paper, which creates the foundation for the pandemic. So they claim there is a virus. They claim they have these samples that are really in silico, which they admit that they're in silico, that they have no actual patient specimens. They've got these edited in silico sequences. And then they claim that the virus causes a disease, and then they give specifications for a test called the PCR, which can't test for virus. And this becomes the World Health Organization's model test. So when the if you were like Botswana and you wanted to make a COVID test and you wrote to the World Health Organization, which you remember, they would say, right. Yeah, call up Christian Drosten. He'll help you out. No kidding. And so he would send these in silico sequences and essentially the quote test kit and tell you what to mix the shit with. If you got out of your nose, you got to extract it from the Q-tip and I'll do all these 60 million steps. And that test does not include proof that it's human. Hilariously, it's missing a gene that confirms the test came from a person. And so if you're wondering why a pawpaw fruit, motor oil, or a goat can test positive, that's why. And I think it's perfectly hilarious that there's no proof that it's from a human, because none of this stuff is about humans. And meanwhile, you might say, someone might say, well, you can see them put their hand on their hip and cock their hip. Yeah. Well, how did all those people die? It's like, frankly, I don't know how they died, but I'm telling you that a cork pop gun couldn't assassinate, John F. Kennedy with a cork pop gun. You need something else. And people die for a lot of reasons. They've been dying for a long time for a lot of reasons. They didn't just start dying under SARS-CoV-2, but a lot of the warp that we're seeing, the mind warp that we're seeing, is this kind of like zero gravity in silico logic, so-called.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that's interesting around this topic is the question of, are the numbers inflated? In other words, how we have a counterfeit pandemic? Because when you go back and you study the Spanish flu pandemic, for example,
right,
the population of the planet, 1.3 billion, number of dead estimated between 30 and 50 million. Way higher than what we're experiencing. Mm-hmm. And the percentage roughly runs out to about 4% of the entire world's population died during those 2.5 years. Mm. I just looked at the numbers on Worldometer today, and we're still currently at 0.000438%
with
to the
their
total
jacked
world population.
Up numbers. So a couple of things there. First of all, this test cannot generate a positive. If you watch any Carrie Mullis video ever made, he's the inventor of the polymerase chain reaction. All he's doing is explaining this thing can't test for a virus. Second, so it can't create a positive result. Second, even the
that
New
has
York
to do with the cycling process.
No, there's no. How do you have a positive if you're not testing for the thing that you're looking for?
Oh well, of course. Exactly.
And furthermore, no one has a complete sequence. They only have swept together broken glass, and they're claiming it's a virus. Nucleotides, they're called. They have a bunch of dead nucleotides, and they're saying, "Well, we have." We know a virus was here. It's a little like saying, well, we found half a hoof print, therefore we know there's a whole unicorn.
Well, then we come up against Antoine Béchamp and the whole idea of the terrain theory. And, well, are we dealing with exosomes, or are we dealing with a live organism?
If we're dealing with anything, we may be dealing with a bad flu shot that made people sick. We may be dealing with iatrogenic illnesses in hospitals, people killed by drugs. Many of the people killed during the Spanish flu were killed by overdose of aspirin. Huge hemorrhaging from huge doses of aspirin, like the whole bottle. You would never do that today. They were so thrilled. Ooh, aspirin. And all it was doing is, thank you, Germans, thinning out their blood. And of course, they would hemorrhage. And so there, I believe, was absolutely no virus during Spanish flu. No. And I ended 2020 in the exact opposite place of the rest of the world. Everyone else ended 2020 just about completely freaked out about viruses. And I'm thinking, geez, what a crock. This whole thing is a complete crock. Once you read about the 2017 lawsuit in Germany where they can't prove that measles has been isolated or purified, there is not one paper that proves the measles virus causes the measles. And second, Spanish flu, as it's called, there's a paper from 1919 in the Journal of the American Medical Association where they report on two studies where they took sick people from the hospital and they bused them to a location, and they took healthy people, prisoners and soldiers, prisoners were commuted, got their sentences commuted if they were going to live through it, which was a good bet. They couldn't. Oh, and then the sick people would breathe into the mouth of the healthy people for 5 minutes.
Cough into their faces too.
Right into their mouth. Like almost like just about to kiss. And then they would inoculate them with sputum from dead people and sick people. They gave a grand total of zero people the Spanish flu doing this. Wow. Zero. And it's in the Journal of the American Medical Association. And my favorite part of the article are the last three paragraphs where this top public health physician in the United States is, he's incredulous at the end of it, saying, we thought we understood this. We got to figure this out. We don't understand how this is spread, but it's not spread the way we think that it's spread.
Well, I'll throw a theory of mine out there, and I think it's tied directly back into the internet and the digital whole thing. Especially, you know, I've read two books in the past year. I mean, one thing this whole thing has done for me is it got me back into book reading big time. A book by Jeremy Nadler called Struggle for a Human Future. Another one called The Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Furstenberg. And if you can subscribe to or at least get behind the possibility of terrain theory, i.e. Antoine Beauchamp, the idea of toxicity. You know, the things like the Black Plague being caused not because people were living in sin in Venice, but because of bad sanitation and poisons in the food supply or in the water. You know, it's toxicity.
Fleas, flea bites. That was spread by flea bites.
Yeah. The rats had nothing to do with it, apparently. And then when you get into the modern era from, like, you know, the last 180 years, which coincides basically with the whole Saturn-Jupiter cycle, we have never been exposed as a species to artificial electromagnetic fields like we have in the last 180 years out of how many millions? And that, I think, we are starting to see a perfect storm of toxicity, whether it's chemical, radiation, radiological, food chain poisons and additives, chemicals in the household, stress levels like no one has ever seen, just from the mere fact of being bombarded 24/7, even in our sleep, through television waves, radio waves, microwaves, millimeter waves, you know, 5G, 4G,
3G, Blue G, 3G, Bluetooth, Green Tooth. Yeah.
We're disturbing the etheric of the planet to such a degree. Thank you, Elon Musk, all his Starlink satellites up there, and pinging down here. What does this do to the electromagnetic background field that basically supports life on this planet and all the biological life forms within it? That's my question. What if we translate that to the fact that we are, as Dr. Thomas Cowan said, organized water, 70% water. And one of the things that impinges on water dramatically are EMF fields of all descriptions. We have a situation that we are so blinded by the medical establishment, the edifice of the medical establishment, we can't look, or people cannot see or take in any other information because the discourse is being controlled.
Yeah, and people's minds are controlled. Our segment's
up. Yeah, we have to take a song break. So what do you have up for us next?
I have the perfect song for our inflated PCR test results. It's from Hail to the Thief. And that's 2003. And the song's called 2 + 2 = 5.
cut the world to rise. I stay home forever. We're tuned to always makes a five. I lay down the tracks, sound.
Station for a global community.
Okay, we're back on for the last segment of part two of our interview with Mr. Eric Francis Coppolino. And we are on a roll here with current events. We're in the midst of the astrology of Saturn and Jupiter in Aquarius. We're in the midst of the astrology of Uranus and Taurus. We're in the midst of it all, especially with the foreground of COVID, the so-called pandemic health emergency on a global basis, and how every government and every biotech firm and every big tech firm is cashing in and taking advantage of the situation while we're all sitting here trembling in our living rooms and wondering, am I next?
Yeah, no, you're not next. To take care of yourself, there is no COVID to get. Your mask is not helping you. It's only making you sick. New study this week once again reaffirmed it does no good and it does only harm. And when you see the kinds of gear that are worn in biosafety level 4 labs where they handle things like coronaviruses, these people are walking around inside of airtight balloons.
Yeah.
Your bandana.
Like the Wuhan Lab of Virology?
That one. The Wuhan Virology Institute. And I'm with Tom Cowan. That's a patsy. The reason that they start the thing in Wuhan is because they had a lab there they could blame. Oh, maybe it was escaped from the lab. Oh, maybe it was from a bat. Well, it's like, you know, same thing.
Tucker Carlson just did a piece on that 2 days ago.
I haven't seen that one. I saw his takedown. He's been brilliant.
But he's been on a roll.
Yeah.
It's been amazing.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. He's not, he's got, you know, he likes his position, but he's got nothing to lose really. So he's willing to tell the truth. He kind of has more money than the Murdochs. So, it'd be a fun date. So, So can I end with the theory that, like, I've come to a place of understanding what's actually going on?
We're in the summarizing phase here. We're in the, like, the big reveal. Let's go for it.
So I'm pretty sure that I explained pretty good that this is a digital virus and that we are digitized people driven out of our bodies. And it is for this reason that we're falling for it. No one would fall for this if they were in a normal state of mind. You maybe could convince a bunch of people high on LSD that there's a ghost in the room, but you would have a harder time convincing a bunch of people who were normal waking consciousness that there was a ghost in the room. And so we are susceptible to being spooked by the fact that we've been driven out of our bodies by all of this complete over immersion, kind of a mild electrocution 24/7, and don't know what's real and what's not. We don't know what's us and what's not. We don't know up from down, because in the astral plane, there is no up and down.
Yeah. So we are in the lower astral band.
Yeah. We are digital induced with freaking timestamps and GPS tracking, though. It's a freaking weird astral. You can't really, I mean, if you have a skill, you maybe can find your way back to somewhere on the astral plane. But generally not. With all this blockchain technology and everything's tagged and date stamped and time stamped, and geolocation stamped and all this stuff, this is a really weird version of the astral plane. And we're overwhelmed by the information. People were really flipped out when I wrote an article over the summer about the kids at Woodstock not worrying about the Hong Kong flu, quote unquote, that had already killed 100,000 people by the time of the Woodstock Festival.
Was that worldwide or just in the U.S.?
Yeah, worldwide.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No. 100,000 was just in the U.S.
Oh, just in the U.S.?
Yeah, as far as I know, yes. Wow. It was many more around the world attributed to this virus. And no one cared. People didn't even know about it. I called up the festival promoter. He didn't know about it. I called up the historian. He didn't know about it. I called up the photographer, who's like the photo documentary photographer. He said neither me nor my wife knew nor cared about it. The kids are all piled in on a farmer's field, a cow pasture, meaning they're like kind of swimming in cow shit because it was raining all weekend and all the grass was worn down. And no one cared. They were just having a great time, smoking pot, having sex, dropping acid. And even being in an altered state, as most of them were, it still didn't matter. They were on the ground. They were with each other. They were not in Vietnam. They knew they were safe.
They were looking after each other, too.
They were most certainly looking after each other. Yeah, that was the ethos, the hog farm and everybody taking care of people and all that.
I'm confronted right now in my head with the image of Alfred E. Newman going, what? Me worried?
Yeah. Well, that's a good one to stick into this discussion. Maybe Ben Garrison will, he's a Mad Magazine fan. He's like this libertarian cartoonist who's done some of the best stuff on COVID. So who can see through this? And why is it that all these health food people have been conned into thinking now they've lived organically their whole life and now they've got to take this injection?
I don't know. Or the yoga teachers or...
The yoga teachers, yeah. Well,
yeah, I mean, I'm finding, and as you have pointed out, this is breaking up old friendships. It's breaking up families. It's become the thin end of the wedge, but it's no longer thin.
Mm-hmm. No, it's all the way in right now, and it's okay to be hostile. People, you know, rage and judgment are the new peace and love, and that's really depressing. And we need peace and love more than ever. Right now, we need to be with each other more than ever right now. And I have to say, once you know the stuff that I know, you can't unknow it. And
so to
look outside at everyone like walking around all pious, wearing their masks like they're personally saving the world, this to me is horrifying.
Can you speak to the astrology of this and what happens now that we're going to go in, we're going to go through the U.S. Pluto return, we're going to go into Pluto going into Aquarius. What then?
Well, okay, so there, I see we've got to get it together, or we're going to be living in an episode of Black Mirror. We're going to be living in a this alternate reality so strong that people will forget that they ever had a Thanksgiving dinner. They're going to forget they ever went to a baseball game.
Or went to a park.
A park, yeah. Walking around in normal, you know, breathing normally, showing your face. How quickly, and I think that how quickly it happened is a testament to how susceptible we are to persuasion and incursion under digital conditions. Now, the U.S. Pluto return, I said way at the beginning, whatever happens with COVID, it's going to drag out in the U.S. for a lot longer, because that's the political crisis of the Pluto return. So that doesn't even take full contact till 2022. That's next year. We've been warming up to it for 10 years, probably, but now it's actually going to happen in 2022. And, here's where I somewhat depart from astrology, and I just hope people freaking care enough to wake up. And then Pluto enters Aquarius, which I've been writing about for days, because I'm working on a project that was supposed to be due more than a year ago that was derailed by COVID, finishing the 2020 annual readings, written readings. But I'm at 6,000 words in the next one. So it's finally, back to my old style of writing books. We better get a grip is all I can say, is we better figure out what's going on and not be so thrilled, this horrible thing is happening. I killed my television. I got rid of commercial TV. And so I've been watching this thing on Amazon tucked in the back called Great Courses. Really one of the best things on Amazon. So I watched like 75 physics lectures and finally got sick of that. And like quantum and time theory and all this stuff, the history of gravity and all this stuff. And then I watched the one about how to play chess. Then I found a 26-part, how is this possible? 26-part lecture series on the bubonic plague.
Oh.
Hmm. Oh. Yeah. It's back there. It's called Black Death. And this English professor, I forget her name, knows quite a lot, and goes on for 26 lectures. Well, I didn't know almost any of this stuff. And when you hear the horrors of an actual plague where they're burying people in graves 5 deep, and some towns lost 80% of the people, and half the world population is believed to have died. And then the thing drags on for more than 200 years. I did not know that.
I didn't know that.
After the original couple of bouts where it was really bad, every 10 years it would come back.
Wow.
And the horrors of this, and it completely upends the world. It rearranges everything changes all the dynamics and economics, and suddenly there's so fewer people. That people have to work for real money now, all of a sudden. It ends feudalism. But the absolute horror, first of all, of these real deaths from real sickness is really horrifying to have this. And the number of people killed, and you could live, your entire family could have been killed even in a week by this. And we're making a big deal out of this thing that is basically just fake positive results out of a fake virus and a fake computer that no one's actually sick. No one is actually sick. In New York, they're claiming 2 in 10,000 people are in the hospital. They're pretty much all going to get out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So compare that with the 80% of a town dying, this horrifying death of pustules and lymph nodes exploding and turn black. And it's like, and then all the psychology behind it, all the propitiating God and thinking this is all about sin and killing all the Jews and then killing all the prostitutes and then killing this people and this
killing
people.
Killing all the witches.
The witches.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
no wonder Hieronymus Bosch had a thing, you know, I mean, yeah. Geez.
Well, look what he witnessed. And what they're doing is they're tapping into the primal fear of that. Only they're saying, well, you know, you tested positive, therefore you have to quarantine. It's like, really? I've got a case of 908-947.2. Please listen to that. It's right on the bottom of planetwaves.net. Just go to the homepage, scroll right down, and you'll see a beautiful picture of the in silico virus drawn by Bobby Mahesh Malhotra. And then I interview.
I use
my warmth, and presence, my air presence, and interview this computer virus. Yeah.
Okay.
Who's very cool. Sad that he can't actually cause a disease. He's very upset about this. He wants to kill people, but he can't because he's just trapped inside of a computer.
It's frustrated.
It is. It's terrible.
It's like being in that movie Tron. What do you do?
you just be electronic.
All right. Well, we've got a few minutes left. Is there anything you would like to say to the audience, to our listeners? Going forward, anything you want to have them take away?
I feel like I'm pleading with the human race these days to remember that you're human and to be human and not to be afraid of being human. And I get that it's not easy to be human. There's all this loss and sadness and disappointment, and yet there's so much to live for. And if you end up going in silico, if you end up going transhuman, it's not any easier. It doesn't solve your problems to be digitized. You're still going to have all the same stuff going on. It's just that you were sold something that wasn't true. And I would encourage people to actually do research, which does not mean read Twitter or believe what's said on CNN. Pick one issue that I've talked about and dig into it. Maybe take something I've said and try to prove me wrong. Go at it. Write to me, office@planetwaves.net. Prove me wrong. Go ahead. I'm so happy to be wrong.
Well, there's two things that I took away from you, what you've written in this last year. And number one is the two best questions asked. It's how do you know that?
Mm.
And show me the evidence. You know, it's the one thing that we have as a defense in any kind of dialogue or discourse. But the main thing I keep coming back to is if there's a clarion call here for me and to the audience, it's like, remember your body, remember nature, remember the earth. This is who you come from. This is who you partner with. And take off your shoes and socks and stand in the dirt. You know, build that microbiome in your body. Eat the right foods. Filter your damn water and stop letting fear rule you.
Yeah. Well, there's a great learning opportunity here, right? There's a great learning opportunity here. And that is, how does your body relate to the outside environment? You know, take the damn mask off and just breathe and see what it's like. I mean, figure out that a piece of cotton can't if there was something to stop, couldn't stop it.
It'll stop some dust.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. It also makes dust.
Yeah.
True. You know, the masks have C8 in them. The masks have Teflon. That's not good.
Well, you know what's on the tip of the Q-tips that they give you here to take a swab out of your nose for the PCR? It's actually called EO, which is ethylene oxide.
Nice.
Which is a known carcinogen.
Of course.
And it's right on the box.
Perfectly safe.
It's an ethylene oxide. Yes. It's a neurotoxin. One of my...
So, you know, learn. That's what this is for. As Joni Mitchell said, I'm not sure who I am, but life is for learning.
Bingo. There's nothing to follow that. There's really nothing to follow that except let's learn to care enough about each other and the planet to carry on.
And end with a real chipper song called Knives Out.
All righty.
From Amnesiac, 2001.
Before we listen to that, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, to share your insights, your history, your wonderful humor, which is fantastic. And I want to remind people, go to planetwaves.net and check out this stuff. It's great. I mean, you will become a huge fan in a matter of moments. So thank you very much, Eric. And
my pleasure.
Let's listen to this together. And I'm looking forward to to more in the future. Good. All right.
Yes.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us for this amazing two-part conversation with Eric Francis Coppolino here on Revealing the Mysteries, exclusively on Kinda Sound Community Radio. I'm your host, Isaac George. And for more information about me, just visit isaacgeorge.com, isaacgeorge.com. For more information and access to great shows and presenters, please visit kindasound.org. And now, that track that we promised, Knives Out by Radiohead. Farewell for now. Blessings on your journey.